programs and allocations, and I will confirm that there's a quorum.
Good morning. Yes, we have a quorum.
Okay. First item on our agenda today is the consent calendar. Is there any member of the commission wanting to remove an item? Any member of the public? Okay, seeing none, do I have a motion for approval? There's a motion and a second for approval. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next item is our regional programs. This is a request for $2.4 million to support SOTRAN transition expenditure. And this is going to be Ann Richmond.
Yes. Good morning, Commissioners. Ann Richmond with Programming and Allocation Staff. This item is a request for the committee to approve a funding framework to provide $2.4 million to SOTRANS to support their transition efforts. The Solano Transportation Authority has been working with SOTRANS and providing financial and staff support to them during their first year of operations as functions are transitioned from Benicia and Vallejo to the new agency. During this year, there have been some unanticipated challenges, and SOTRANS and STA are requesting that MTC support $2.4 million for the transition. This funding would be used to pay for some one-time transition and startup expenses and to shore up the financial picture for the new agency. It's expected that in the long run, the formation of SOTRANS will result in savings through consolidation of service contracts, staffing, and improved service efficiency. Staff is recommending financial support for SOTRANS consistent with the Transit Sustainability Project policy framework and recommendations, which call for MTC to support this consolidation effort and monitor its progress. The $2.4 million is comprised of a variety of fund sources, and the allocation actions are associated with other items on today's agenda and at future meetings. $1 million would come from the Solano County share of the Lifeline Transportation Program Prop 1B funding, $200,000 from the Lifeline State Transit Assistance funding, $260,000 from the Regional Measure 2 Marketing Program, and $1 million from STP Cycle 2 Transit associated with the One Bay Area Grant Program. Two of these items, the Lifeline 1B and the Regional Measure 2 Marketing, are on your agenda today, and two of the items are to be considered at a future meeting. I'd like to note that the Solano TA Board is considering approval today of the Lifeline and the RM2 Marketing Fund requests. Therefore, pending committee approval of these related funding programs and the STA Board approval of the Lifeline and RM2 funds, staff recommends that the committee approve this funding framework. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Commissioner Spearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, in the audience is the executive director of SOTRANS, Solano Transit, so if anyone has any questions. But I do want to say in the staff report, it says it is expected that in the long run, the formation of SOTRANS will result in savings through consolidations. Well, we've already had over $1 million worth of savings through this consolidation, through changes in operational costs, route realignment, the efficiencies, and how we're operating the service. And the a lot of the hard, tough decisions are being made by the board, and so there's been a real effort to bring forth a much better service at a higher savings to the public. And so, Mr. Chairman, I certainly would encourage the committee to move this item forward. But I just wanted to outline that a lot of work has been done in this consolidation. I think is going to serve Solano County and certainly lead into other opportunities for us.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions from the commission? We do have one speaker on this, Jim Macquarie.
He'll keep his comments short if he's smart.
I always value the commissioner's advice, especially since I'm new to the area, but I wanted to thank the staff of the MTC and our board, and of course one of our strong leaders on our board, Commissioner Spearing. So, and I wanted to introduce myself, Jim McElroy. I'm the interim executive director, and if the board's successful, I'll only be around for a short time. So my short comments will be commensurate with my short time with the board. But the board has done an excellent job in getting our costs under control, in addition to the savings that Commissioner Spearing has noted for you. I believe by the end of this year, we'll be able to attain a 5% reduction in our cost per hour through savings with our private operator. And also we'll get savings through realignment, as the commissioner identified, realignment of our routes and our overall route structure. So with that, I want to thank you for the help you've provided to our organization, and I think you're going to see some real benefits through this consolidation. And I would like to humbly request your approval of this agenda item. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have no other speaker cards. I'll bring it back to the commission. There's a motion and a second for approval. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now I'll move to our next item, which is item 3B, and this is fiscal year 2012-13 Regional Measure 2 Operating Program Project Performance Update and Amendment of 2011-2012 RM2 Operating Programs. And this is MTC Resolution 4058 and 3998 revised. Teresa.
Today I'm presenting the Regional Measure 2 Operating Assistance Program for fiscal year 12-13 and a revision to the RM2 Operating Program for fiscal year 11-12. MTC is required to adopt a budget or program for RM2 operating funds prior to the beginning of each fiscal year. The proposed RM2 Operating Assistance Program for fiscal year 12-13 is consistent with the draft BATA budget and includes $41 million for 11 operating and planning projects and identifies about $2.5 million in marketing funds for Clipper outreach and other operating projects. Staff is also recommending a revision to the fiscal year 11-12 operating budget to provide for startup costs related to new RM2 service in the Dumbarton corridor scheduled to begin in July of 12-13. I'd like to highlight two new RM2 operating services that are scheduled to begin operations in fiscal year 12-13. The first is Dumbarton Express Bus Service, which will provide expanded bus service in the Dumbarton corridor in order to meet ridership demand and build transit ridership in the corridor. As a reminder, the Commission approved a shift in operating funding that had been slated for rail service in the corridor to bus service. The budget for the Dumbarton bus service is $3.3 million, with RM2 providing for approximately $2.2 million of the total cost and allowing for an 83% increase in service revenue hours in the corridor. And there is a map of the proposed service expansion in your packets. Secondly, the Water Emergency Transportation Authority will begin to provide peak period ferry service between Oyster Point and South San Francisco and Main Street in Alameda and Jack London Square in Oakland. The budget for the South San Francisco service is approximately $3.3 million, with RM2 providing for approximately $2.5 million of the total cost. All operating projects are subject to established fare box recovery and efficiency standards and are required to meet those standards by the third year of service. In October of 2011, staff reported that there were two RM2 funded routes that did not meet the performance standards by the year that they were required to. But based on more recent performance calculations, staff is recommending maintaining operating funding for these routes in fiscal year 12-13. The first of them was the Central Contra Costa Transit Authority's Route 96X, which runs from the Walnut Creek BART to the Bishop Branch office complex. It receives a subsidy from Bishop Branch that provides for a significant portion of the operating costs for that route. And the subsidy was not being counted previously towards the fare box recovery ratio, which is why the route was not meeting the fare box recovery requirements. So staff is proposing to include a portion of the subsidy equivalent to the standard passenger fare for each of the Bishop Branch passengers towards the fare box recovery requirement, and that would allow them to meet the standards. The other service was Fairfield Sassoon Transit's Route 40, which runs from Vacaville's Transit Center to the Walnut Creek BART. The service was modified slightly to reduce costs and is now meeting the fare box requirements. In addition to those two routes, staff is also working on developing corrective action plans for two routes that are not currently meeting performance standards. That would be Napa's Route 29, which runs from Calistoga to the Del Norte BART and is required to meet the performance standards by the close of 11-12, and LAFTA's rapid service running from West Pleasanton to East Livermore has until the close of fiscal year 12-13 to meet performance standards. And I did want to note that in the memo that LAFTA hasn't, it says that LAFTA has only until the close of 11-12 to meet standards, but that's incorrect. They actually
have until the end of fiscal year 12-13 to meet the standards, since they did not really begin service until January of 2011. So that concludes my report, and I would ask that the committee refer Resolution 3998 revised and Resolution 4058 to the commission for approval.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Commissioner Green.
Not really a question, just a comment. I'm happy to finally see the RM2 money for on the Dumbarton corridor going where it needs to be going, which is actually in the corridor. And it just want to point out to my Senate clarions there that the major amount of those people coming across will actually be going into northern Santa Clara County. Just a reminder there, Dave.
Any other comments, questions? Okay, I'll entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
A motion and a second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. We'll now move to our next item on the regional projects. This is the Lifeline Transportation Program, Cycle 3 proposed Proposition 1B program, MTC Resolution Number 4053 and 3880 revised. Kirsten.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm Kristen Major from the Programming and Allocation section. I'm here today to present the Proposition 1B projects that are proposed for the third cycle of the Lifeline Transportation Program. MTC's Lifeline Transportation Program funds projects that improve mobility for the region's low-income communities. The program is administered by the 9 county congestion management agencies. In December, MTC adopted program guidelines for the third cycle of the Lifeline Transportation Program. The target programming amount for this cycle is $87 million region-wide. This includes $47 million in Proposition 1B funds, $24 million in State Transit Assistance, or STA, funds, $8 million in Job Access and Reverse Commute, or JARC, funds, and $9 million in STP funds, that's Surface Transportation Program. This month, in order to meet Caltrans's Proposition 1B deadlines, we are recommending most of the Proposition 1B projects, with a couple of exceptions, which I will discuss a little bit later. We are also recommending a small amount of STA and JARC programming in order to support MT's work in administering the program and in carrying out a means-based fare study. Those two regional projects were identified specifically in the program guidelines that you adopted in December. It's important to note that Proposition 1B transit funds can only be used for capital projects that serve public transportation purposes, and transit operators are the only eligible recipients. Given these eligibility restrictions, in most counties, the Proposition 1B funds were directed to the transit operators according to a formula. The operators then programmed the funds to any capital project that was consistent with the Lifeline Transportation Program and goals and was eligible for the funds. The operators were required to get CMA concurrence for their projects. In Solano and Sonoma counties, the Proposition 1B funds were directed to the CMA, which included the funds in their overall Lifeline programming efforts. The memo in your packet shows a chart that summarizes the types of projects that were recommended to receive funding. Some of the common projects include bus procurements, improvements at BART stations, such as wayfinding, real-time arrival information, pedestrian pathways, lighting, and bicycle lockers. Bus stop improvements were also a common project type, including shelters, seating, and lighting, and onboard vehicle equipment, including text-based message signs and communications equipment. As noted earlier during item 3A on today's agenda, the $1 million proposed for SoulTrans will be used to support the SoulTrans transition plan. There are also a few other issues that we wanted you to be aware of. First, we recently learned that the Napa County Transportation and Planning Agency needs to make a couple of very minor revisions to their programming amounts. The projects will not change, nor will the total programming amount. They're just shifting funds between the projects. We will incorporate these minor changes into the program that's presented to the full commission on May 23rd. We also wanted to note that the program includes allocation requests from the San Francisco MTA and from VTA for capital projects. Given that these two agencies have also requested commission support for free fare programs, a topic that is going to be discussed in the next agenda item, staff is recommending that commission defer action on those two projects, or those two agencies' projects, so that the funds can be considered along with the free fare requests, possibly at your meetings in June. Just for your reference, the SFMTA Prop 1B request is for transit enhancements along two transit corridors, including the 8X route and the Mission Corridor. And BTA's Prop 1B request is for the purchase of hybrid buses to operate on the new Santa Clara Street, Alumrock Avenue rapid transit line. Finally, I just wanted to note that as with all state bond programs, the timing of the bond sales is uncertain, but staff is working with Caltrans to make sure that these projects are well-positioned when a bond sale does occur. So that concludes my presentation, and I can answer questions if you have any.
Questions? Comments? Is there a motion to move this forward?
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. Seeing none. Okay, we'll move to our next item, which is a informational item. And this is a funding request for low-income transit pass pilot program. And this will be done by Ann.
Good morning.
Oh,
over here. I had to switch sides for this one. Ann Richmond again, still with programming and allocation staff. Wanted to provide information this morning on two pending requests for regional funding to support discounted or free fare programs for low-income riders. So I'll introduce those requests and then provide context on transit finances, demographics, and funding. And this item is for information only today. The two requests are from SFMTA and from VTA, and just to provide you with information about these two programs, MTA is proposing to provide free transit service for low-income youth ages 5 to 17 who are in San Francisco and who would be using a Clipper card. The program is a little under 2 years, and they are proposing to start it on August 1st of this year. MTA estimates that the total cost is $9.4 million, and they're requesting regional funding in the amount of $5 million. The VTA program proposes to provide free monthly passes to adults on general assistance and a limited number of low-income youth. They're also looking at about a two-year program with a start date to be determined. VTA estimates their program would cost $9.2 million, and they're seeking $4.6 million in regional support. The MTA proposal would serve an estimated 40,000 youths per month, and the VTA proposal would serve about 4,800 adults on general assistance and approximately 1,000 youth. So just to provide some financial context on Bay Area Transit, the annual operating costs for all of the Bay Area Transit operators combined are about $2.3 billion per year. Fares cover about 30% of this, although that percentage does vary pretty significantly by operator, and other subsidies cover the remaining 70%, including MTC allocations from various sources and other local funds such as property tax, sales tax, general fund dollars, and others. These charts dig a little bit further into the operating subsidy picture. The chart on the left shows the operating subsidy for an average trip for the big seven operators, as we call them. The red is the kind of non-fare portion of the cost of the trip, and the blue is the amount that is covered by fares. So on this chart, you can see that the subsidy ranges from about $1 per trip for BART to nearly $9 per trip for Golden Gate Transit, with the others falling somewhere in between. Looking more closely at SFMTA and VTA, the chart on the right shows the operating subsidy for youth and for adults on those two systems. For SFMTA, the subsidy is about 75% of the fare of the cost, for youth, and about 30% for adults, and this is largely because of the significantly discounted youth price compared to the full adult fare. On VTA, the operating subsidy is about 70% for both youth and adults, as the fares are more similar for those two on the VTA system. Turning now to ridership, we'll go over some demographic information based on MTC's 2006 demographic rider survey, which is the most recent year that we have information available that's comparable across a wide range of transit operators. The chart on the left shows the various categories of rider by fare category and income level. So of the 470 million trips per year on Bay Area Transit, approximately 37% are made by adults with incomes over $50,000 per year, about 40% by low-income adults, and that's the kind of red and the striped red and blue categories there, and then the remaining 22% by youth, seniors, and disabled people. The chart on the right shows how the 96 million low-income adult trips are distributed across the various transit operators. Four operators carry 85% of the region's low-income adult riders. These are SFMTA with about 42%, VTA with about 16%, BART with 14%, 13% on AC Transit, and the remainder on SamTrans and all other operators. Some riders receive fare discounts presently, and some don't. Transit fares are set by the local transit agency boards and reflect the board policies as well as certain federal requirements. FTA does have some minimum requirements for fare discounts for operators that use FTA formula funds, which is most operators in the Bay Area. And these minimums are to provide a 50% discount for people over 65 during non-peak hours and a minimum 50% discount for disabled people also during non-peak hours. There is no federal requirement for a youth discount. This chart is meant to illustrate the variety of fare discounts that are in effect today, and the shaded cells illustrate discounts that exceed the federal minimums. So the way to read this is, for example, on the SFMTA elderly and disabled cash fare discount, which shows at 63%. That's a 63% discount compared to the adult full fare. And given that the federal requirement is 50%, that cell is shaded to indicate that it exceeds the federal requirement. So you can see that there's quite a range of discounts, and at some agencies the federal requirements are exceeded, and at some they are not. Okay, this is the last demographic chart that I'll show you this morning, and this one shows income levels by fare category for riders on all Bay Area transit systems. And the way to look at this is, for example, among adult riders, 26% of all the adults have an income or reported an income of less than $25,000 per year. 26% reported an income of adult riders reported an income of between $25,000 and $50,000 per year, and then 48% of adults had an income of over $50,000 per year, with similar information shown for the other categories. And one implication from this chart that I wanted to point out is that it appears that fare discounts for disabled people are a pretty good proxy for financial need, as 61% of disabled respondents to the survey reported an income of less than $25,000 per year, and an additional 18% of disabled people had incomes of $25,000 to $50,000 per year. But if you look at some of the other categories, you'll see that fare discounts for seniors and youth are somewhat of a less representative proxy for financial need. We do have some experience in the Bay Area with income-based fare programs, and I wanted to briefly review those. There may be other examples as well, and we are aware, for example, of some programs that are not listed here where passes are provided by the transit operators to social service agencies or nonprofits, sometimes at a discount, sometimes not, and then those agencies then may provide them at a further discount or even free to their clients. In addition to those, there are a few highlighted here. AC Transit had a pilot program in 2002 to provide free passes to low-income middle and high school students. About 25,000 passes were distributed by schools to those students during that pilot year. The program ran for 1 year. It was supposed to run for two, but it was halted a little bit early because of a lack of funding. UC Berkeley did perform an analysis of the program and offered some preliminary conclusions that are included in or summarized in the staff report. Generally, they found that the program did not have a discernible impact on school attendance and grades, but that it may have had an impact on students' abilities to reach after-school programs as well as jobs. Currently, SFMTA offers what they call the Lifeline Pass program, which provides free monthly passes to low-income adults. The program is administered by the San Francisco Human Services Agency. It serves about 20,000 adults each month, and it's funded largely by the SFMTA operating budget. VTA has a program called Uplift that offers free quarterly passes to homeless adults who are in sort of case management programs at various agencies around the county. About 1,800 passes are distributed each quarter. This program is funded by VTA and by the City of San Jose and Santa Clara County. Both programs, both the MTA and the VTA programs, are proposed to continue and not to be replaced by the programs that are the subject of their current requests. In addition, MTC is planning a means-based fare study that was approved as part of the Lifeline Cycle 3 program guidelines. This study was intended to be a longer-term effort to inform regional decisions as well as possibly the next cycle of Lifeline funding. And we would be looking at existing fare policies, low-income rider market segments, fare proposals, potential costs, funding options, and delivery options, including Clipper. Some of that work has been done on a preliminary basis and is included in the report today, and some of it is yet to be completed. Okay, returning now to the two requests that are before you. In terms of the ability to fund these requests, MTC has about $5 million available presently in carryover federal funds. And this is obviously insufficient to cover both of the requests, which total $9.6 million. In the longer term, if these programs were expanded region-wide, preliminary estimates are that the costs could range from $10 million to $100 million per year, depending on the discount level, who's eligible, which agencies participate, et cetera. It's unlikely that transit systems can absorb this type of cost with no impact. And as presented, transit is already subsidized and fares do not cover the costs of current services. One program that might be considered as a potential funding source in the long term is the MTC Lifeline Transportation Program, which provides funding to support transportation services in low-income communities. The Lifeline program current cycle has about $87 million for 3 years and is composed of about $46 million in Prop 1B funds, which you just heard about, and about $40 million in STA, STP, and JARC funds combined. These funds are allocated to transit operators and to the counties and are distributed as shown here. I would like to note, too, that this cycle has a pretty significant increase over the previous cycle, due to the amount of Prop 1B funds that were appropriated by the legislature and due to the one-time addition of the STP funds. Because of eligibility restrictions on some of these fund sources, it's unlikely that all of them would be a good fit to support a low-income fare program in the long term, and it seems that STA is probably the best fit for supporting an ongoing operating program such as a fare discount. However, all of these funds are currently used to support services in low-income communities, so there would certainly be trade-offs if the funds were to be used for a different purpose in the future. So, again, today's presentation and discussion is for information only, and our next steps are to address these issues with SFMTA and VTA staff. We intend to work with them over the next month to define the objectives of their pilot programs, confirm their funding strategies for the short term and the longer term, and determine what information could be gained from their programs that could be useful for MTC's means-based fare study, as well as for potentially replicating their programs regionally if they were to prove successful. We anticipate returning to you in June with a recommendation regarding the funding requests. That concludes the presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? We have a number of speakers. Commissioner Green.
I don't know, Mr. Chair. Maybe you can take the speakers. If I'm fine, I'll have some of the.
Okay, we do have comments. A number of speakers, so I'm going to ask that each speaker critique their comments and try to keep them to 2 minutes. So the first speaker we have is Mrs. Arno and Mr. Avon. Are you two coming together on this?
Yes, I'm Nathaniel Arnold. I'm going to abstain from speaking at this time.
Okay. Okay, our next speaker is Matt Williams. And Mr. Arno, you do not want to speak? Is that what you're... Okay.
Good morning. I was on AC Transit's board when the bus pass program 10, 12 years ago was put together. I just have a few comments or thoughts for you to think about. First is today's memo looks a lot like the one that I'm passing out now from 11 years ago. It's a great idea, but we really have to study it. It's a regional issue, but nothing's really ever changed in the 11 years. Second thing is staff was correct about what happened with the UC study of the AC program. Didn't lead to a truancy increase. It did get kids to after-school activities at a greater extent than before. But what it also did is it changed travel behavior for middle school students. They actually started taking the bus more. One of the things that I think everybody in the AC program learned was don't confine the program just to low income. Give it to every middle and senior high school kid. Missing from the memo today is the measure J in Contra Costa County. WICTAC is giving passes to low-income kids in two school districts, and you might inquire as to the administrative burden they've got today.
Yep.
Also missing is the measure, the 2009 report you got on greenhouse gases, and I've put a copy of a page in the packet, which I'll just read you the two things it says. Driving children to school or high school students driving themselves has become a significant issue for local congestion, student health, air pollution, and greenhouse gas emissions. School trips constitute at least 10% of the morning peak trips in the region and are higher in predominantly residential cities. So it's not just about getting kids to school, it's greenhouse gas issues. Your memo focuses on operating costs, but it unfortunately ignores capital costs, and that can lead you to make a suboptimal decision. And then lastly, going back to changing travel behavior with the middle school kids, I put a chart there that goes way back to TCM 2 days, but looking at transit ridership gains since 1995, and those are the years that BART to SFO opened, West Pittsburgh and Dublin, plus the Tasman West Light Rail Line, and you can see that transit ridership growth is pretty much flat. It's the achievement of 15% gains never been realized. So maybe what you could do is just give the pass to every middle and senior high school kid and see what happens. It won't cost you very much money. Thanks. And finally, the Sierra Club Bay chapter, which is Marin, San Francisco, Alameda, and Contra Costa, has some objectives for the next RTP, and one of those is to give every middle and senior high school kid a free pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker is Angela Yu. And she will be followed by Jane Martin.
Hello, Commissioners. My name is Angelina Yu. I'm a youth organizer with the Chinatown Community Development Center in San Francisco, and I'm here to speak before you in support of the proposal for free bus passes for up to 40,000 young people low income in the city. A little background about this campaign. This was an effort started by young people for young people. They were suddenly seeing a real concern they had for their ability to access transit in the city. From the voices of young people, there are three main reasons we're running this campaign, this effort to get free passes: soaring costs, an emerging need, and suddenly a sense of urgency. In San Francisco, we saw that the cost of bus passes had jumped 110% from $10 to $21. This is a huge burden for a lot of young people and their parents. At the same time, we're seeing that our local school district announced that it was cutting its bus service by 43%. This was a service that a lot of young people who had formerly depended on to get to school were not going to have anymore, and suddenly we're going to see this increased shift in dependency on transit. Finally, from young people, we're hearing that for them and their parents, this economic recession is hitting home and hitting home hard. Increasingly, this campaign, we're realizing, is about improving the quality of life for young people, for low-income young people and their families. So we're hoping that the MTC will support this so that it's really about the young people and making transit accessible.
Thank you. Next speaker, Jane Martin, followed by Beatrice Herrera.
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you for taking the time to consider the San Francisco MTA funding request. My name is Jane Martin, and I'm the political director at POWER, which is a multiracial community organization and part of the coalition that has been advocating for the Free Muni Youth Pilot Program. We understand that there's a little bit of a hesitation initiating a pilot project when the exact sources of long-term funding have yet to be identified. But we really need this pilot project now because our communities are in crisis and because it will help us both figure out how to design the best program and how to fund it. And we're here today to ask for your help to get this off the ground, and we want to be clear that we do not in any way expect that the region would be able to bear the brunt of providing free transit for all the region's youth long-term. I want to really briefly describe what our coalition's efforts have been to address the long-term revenue situation at the MTA as we look towards trying to continue this program in the future. Last fall, we worked with our transit authority to initiate an audit of work orders, overtime, capital projects that helped identify possible efficiencies in the agency's budget, and we're following up on the issues exposed in that audit, and we're going to continue to advocate for the best and most efficient use of our local transit dollars. I've also represented our organization in a task force of stakeholders convened by the San Francisco MTA to try and identify new sources of revenue for the agency. The task force has recommended several possibilities, including reforming our development transit assessment fee and a city bond for capital improvements. We're also participating in a coalition of community groups and labor unions that's aiming to put at least one revenue measure on the November ballot in San Francisco, some portion of which would bring revenue to the MTA. Additionally, we've been working with San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee, who's very supportive of this pilot project. He's been reaching out to technology companies to find private sources of funding, and many of the tech companies relocating in San Francisco are very interested in supporting this kind of project, and he's going to be following up with them in the coming months. So I want to assure you that if the region can do its part to help us get this program off the ground, all of us in San Francisco, the MTA, the mayor, the Board of Supervisors, the school district, and the community will be working really hard to evaluate this program and identify sources of funding for the future. This campaign has really helped consolidate our members in the community and bus riders around working with the San Francisco City family to find more stable sources of funding for Muni, to improve system efficiency, and to increase mobility and access to opportunity for low-income youth. We ask the region to join us as a partner in this project. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Beatrice Herrera, followed by Mario, who's with the San Francisco Youth Commission.
Good morning. My name is Beatriz Herrera. I'm a director of organizing at POWER, and I'm also here to ask for your support to make Muni free for youth in San Francisco. You know, as some of our allies have said, this has been a youth-led movement, a family-led movement, and we've been working on this campaign for almost 2 years now. We've had youth and families come to countless hearings, demonstrations, mobilizations, expressing the need for this program and taking action. This has been a partnership between various city departments, the school district, county transportation, the SFMTA, legislators in San Francisco, and community partners such as our organization. You know, this has been a long campaign, and we've thought about including things such as an education component, where we're creating lifelong public transit riders in order to meet the environmental goals of the region. We also want to make sure that we include a public safety component to our education campaign, and also that we make sure that we create responsible ridership in the future. This program also includes an evaluation component to learn best practices and hopefully to share those results with the region, and also a Clipper outreach plan. And so we're here because we need the support from the region to finalize this initiative, and we hope you will support and recognize all the work that has been done over the past 2 years to get here and meet the needs and the demands of San Francisco youth. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mario from the Youth Commission, followed by Mr. Trone from the Commission.
Good morning, Honorable Commissioners. Mario Yedidia, the Director of the San Francisco Youth Commission. Hope you're all doing well. Happy Wednesday. I stand before you today to articulate and try to describe the extent to which the city family of San Francisco has not only come to a consensus on this question, this request that you will be discussing today, but has also already shown an investment in the project. So the Youth Commission is charged under San Francisco City Charter with advising the mayor and the Board of Supervisors on the unmet needs of San Francisco's children and youth and providing recommendations thereon. All of our 17 commissioners are presently in school or working, so you just get staff today. And as, you know, some of our partners in the community have articulated it, and as people coming after me in public comment will articulate, there's been a lot of work to, behind this request. Behind this request, you have a number of different unmet needs. So the rising cost of San Francisco's Youth Fast Pass, which went up 100% in a 12-month period, is one. Radical cuts to yellow school buses is another. And in response to all of that, and after much discussion, deliberation, and data-driven analysis and community work, which involved young people for the first time in a lot of transit decisions or transit conversations, the Youth Commission adopted a resolution in August of last year calling on the city to pursue a low-income or all-youth free pilot program. The Board of Supervisors, the Board of Education, and as you see in your packet today, 3 weeks ago, the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency unanimously adopted resolutions to that effect. So the SFMTA, as you can see in your letter from Ed Reskin, has already identified some $4.3 million. The San Francisco Unified School District has laid down $200,000 for this program. We anticipate that the San Francisco County Transportation Authority Board will do the same before this item comes up for action before you. And so just to conclude, I hope that this committee can recognize the extent to which San Francisco's $6.8 billion municipal corporation has come together on this issue, and I would submit that this body, both as a body and in your role as commissioners and other agencies, could appreciate the degree to which that's important, and I hope that's reflected in your discussion. Thank you, Chair Glover.
Trump, also from the Youth Commission, followed by Jerome Brown.
Hello, good morning, commissioners. My name is Femi Trung, and I'm a staff at the San Francisco Youth Commission. Before I was a staff at the Youth Commission, I was also a youth employment program coordinator and after-school program coordinator in the Tenderloin and South of Market districts in San Francisco. And I'm here to speak in support of the SFMTA proposal for free muni for low-income youth. I simply want to emphasize how important this program will be for the low-income youth of San Francisco. I've worked with predominantly low-income youth in San Francisco for a number of years, and I've seen what a small investment can do for low-income young people to keep them productive and active after school. You have the opportunity to help 40,000 low-income young people of San Francisco access their schools, their after-school programs, jobs, internships, libraries, and other programs that can continue to keep them productive and healthy and active after school. And school will be ending soon for our students, and it will start again for them in 3 months. And I'm asking you to please consider the program for low-income youth in San Francisco, and please act soon for a relatively modest investment. You have the opportunity to help 40,000 young people access the city and stay productive. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerome Brown is followed by Bob Allen.
Hi, my name is Jaron Brown, and I'm here also with Power and the coalition of bus riders, youth, and families that have been really leading this campaign. I just want to speak for a minute about the evaluation that we've really integrated into this whole process. And right now, the MTA, the TA, and the community partners are working really hard around having a comprehensive evaluation program really integrated into our 2-year pilot or 22-month pilot. And the evaluation tools that we're looking at include a travel diary that would go with students. We are actually in a position to have this travel diary begin this month before school ends in over 6 schools, so we can have baseline data and also repeat that as the program rolls out. We're going to be also looking at focus groups that we'd be doing with young people before the program's implemented and then once it's implemented. And then we'd also be looking at baseline MTA data. And the purpose of what we're trying to evaluate is how successful this program is at increasing young people's access to schools, to volunteer programs, and to different programs and after-school programs throughout the city, but also we want to look at young people's access and understanding of and comfort with the Clipper program. And that's really important because 2 years ago, there were 22,000 young people who were buying monthly youth passes, and right now, currently, we only have about 10,000 young people who are using the Clipper pass. So there's a huge gap between young people who are on transit and young people who've been able to transition to using Clipper, which we know is a priority for the region. Our prediction is this program is going to radically alter that, and we want to evaluate and show that. And we also then want to improve the program and then share those best practices within the region. So we really are integrating this as in a comprehensive way. I think you're going to be hearing from the folks who are involved in this over the long term. We are long-term transit advocates. So thank you.
Bob Allen, followed by Maria Lombardo.
Good morning, Commissioners. Bob Allen from Urban Habitat. I wanted to speak this morning about the SFMTA request and how it's consistent with the goals of the Climate Initiatives Program. So just as a reminder, the four goals that you've articulated in this program are funding major demonstration projects, and we think that Muni carrying the largest percentage of the region's ridership certainly is consistent with that, and funding major demonstration projects that focuses on changing travel behaviors. Public education and outreach is the second goal of the program, and I think you've heard a lot from a couple of the community groups that are part of a much larger coalition that I think has gone beyond just the climate angle or just the mobility angle of what this program would do, but really have, I think, lit a fire of interest around making Muni the most successful transit agency, the most accessible agency that it can be, to get real public support behind agencies. So I think the public education outreach component of this campaign is incredibly consistent with the second goal of the Climate Initiatives Program. The Safe Routes to Schools Initiative, and how this program got a lot of support on the MTA board by MTA board members who are really concerned about the nexus between folks taking transit to school, walking and biking, and safe routes to school. And we had a lot of support on the MTA board, and we think this program, again, is consistent with that. And then finally, you just heard from Jaron Brown at Power about the programming evaluation components, both in terms of how we're going to measure the educational impacts, but also looking at travel behaviors. We've been doing a review with some academics around the country around travel diaries to come up with an instrument that will give us really good evaluation data on changing travel behaviors and how we think that, again, is consistent with doing a major demonstration project, which is really the goals of these funds. So we think, again, that this is a consistent ask in terms of what the goals of the $5 million for the Climate Initiatives Program are. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Maria Lombardo, followed by the Honorable Kim Sri Mafis from San Francisco School Board.
Great. Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for considering SFMTA's request. I'm Maria Lombardo with the San Francisco County Transportation Authority. I'll be very brief because I feel like everyone has already made all my points, but I do want to emphasize this really grew as a grassroots effort, but the development of the program, the cobbling together of the funding, development of the education and evaluation components has truly been a partnership, again, with the community groups and organizers, with the MTA, the school district, other schools, the Board of Supervisors, and, of course, the County Transportation Authority. We see this as a huge opportunity to reach up to 40,000 low-income youth, again, with the dual goals that Bob Allen nicely outlined of addressing the affordability issue, which is why the County Transportation Authority will be considering prioritizing the Lifeline funds later this month for the youth pass, as well as growing that next generation of transit riders in the city, which is why we think it's a good fit with the Climate Initiatives funding. And with that, I'd just say we look forward to working with, again, our commissioners and the MTC staff and all of the San Francisco partners on addressing the issues raised in the MTC staff memorandum.
Question for
Ms.
Lombard, just a question. Unless I'm forgetting something, the Transportation Authority has not taken a formal position on this. Is that correct?
That's correct. We'll be bringing this item before our Plans and Programs Committee later this month.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Kim, San Francisco School Board.
Good morning, commissioners and staff. I'm Kim Shreem Office from the San Francisco Board of Education. I just want to let you know the reason I am here today is because of the amazing coalition of partners that are working on this issue in San Francisco and that they've brought it here before you. And as you've heard before, all those folks come before me and tell you all of the organizations that are ready to share information, that are ready to be as transparent as possible about what they discover regarding this pilot project. No one is resting on their laurels here. No one is taking money for granted here. Everyone is working incredibly hard to make certain that we have success every step of the way. There's an incredible amount of cooperation and collaboration with our elected officials, with community organizations, with the school district and other entities in the city, and really just talking with families. Because beyond helping our low-income youth and low-income ridership, we want to shift the philosophy. And we're doing everything we can around educating folks that public transportation is beneficial for everyone. And we all benefit, short-term, long-term. So I'm here today to let you know that all of the Board of Education commissioners are in support and are ready and willing to work together with our community partners, with our business partners, but also with our public and service partners. So thank you very much for taking the time and taking this up. And again, you have access to us through our supervisors here, but also these community partners here. And I appreciate the work that staff has done. I believe long-term, we will find out how the evaluation will show that this is beneficial beyond anything that we understand today. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Art, Alameda CTC. Welcome, Art.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chair Glover and Commission Member. Art Dow, Executive Director of the Alameda County Transportation Commission. First, I want to tell you that we support the concept of exploring the possibility of providing regional funding for an affordable student bus pass program. Here in Alameda County, for the last several months, we've been working on the development of a scope of work for the implementation of a pilot free student bus pass program. And we anticipate that our program will be funded from the new revenue generated from the potential transportation sales tax reauthorization in this county, which will be on the ballot this November. We are working right now really hard with schools, school districts, transit operators, and several community groups to develop the program. And I know that today, this item before you is for information only, but should you choose to move forward with funding VTA and Muni in the future, I am here to request that you also provide funds for the Alameda County pilot-free student transit pass program. And we, at this point, is estimating that to run a free student pass program here in Alameda County, we would need about $14 million annually. This is for the 115,000 youth in this county, 50,000 of whom are low income. One other option that you may wish to consider is to implement a region-wide pilot program so as not to exclude any one county and to really obtain better data for your future decision on whether a free student transit pass program is really effective and feasible and one that could be funded through a sustainable fashion. So with that, thank you for your consideration of our funding request for this morning in advance, and I'll hope to be working with you and your and MTC staff in the future on this endeavor. Thank you.
Hey, my last speaker is Ms. Garza with Power.
Good morning, commissioners. I'll be brief, I promise. My name is Alicia Garza, and I'm the executive director for People Organized to Win Employment Rights. And I won't reiterate some of the points that have been made, but I will say that it's important to us as an organization, but also as a coalition of many city departments, many members of the city family, and many residents of the city and county of San Francisco, that we look at this proposal not as pitted against another proposal that also has a lot of merit, but instead that we look at this proposal as a way to look at both in the short term, intermediate term, and the long term, how is it that we as a region address the needs of children, youth, and families here in the Bay Area. The way that we think that we can do that is by implementing a program that builds off of the case study that happened here in Oakland and is geared towards collecting data that we still
do not have but need a lot more of to determine whether or not these programs work, right? We know in San Francisco, we were able to provide free passes to 12,000 young people over the course of 3 months, and the demand for those passes were much, much more than the supply. When we initially started, the school district was concerned that there would not be enough people who would access the program, and what we were able to demonstrate through the collection of data was that there was many, many families who were in need of this type of service. So again, we want to make sure that this proposal is not entered as a competing proposal for another program, that really we look at what are the long-term needs of children, youth, and families in the region, and figure out how it is that we can actually not just talk about what it might look like, but implement a program, try it out, and start to collect the data that we need to determine how we can meet the needs that exist throughout the region. Thank you.
Thank you. I have no other speaker cards. Is there anyone else from the public wanting to address the commission? Okay, I will close that portion and bring it back to the body. Mr. Green, Commissioner Green.
Thank you. certainly the whole idea of this low-income transit pass is something that, as Art Dow mentioned, our particular county is exploring. And exploring from the standpoint of our taxpayers actually paying for it in November. And we've paraded this around now through 12 cities, the Board of Supervisors, and two transit agencies. And by my score count here, it's something like 83 people in favor. Three have voted against it. One had the courage to abstain, and one person even had less courage and didn't even show up to the meeting. So, at any rate, so it's 83-3-1-1. And that's of our people paying for it. So I look at this, and we're sitting here in Oakland, which has a very high percentage of people living in poverty. AC Transit serves Berkeley, which is another city with a very high amount of people living in poverty, and Richmond. So when you take Berkeley, Richmond, and Oakland together under AC Transit, not to mention being under BART, I might say also, and we're sitting here asking our citizens to pay for it while two other cities are getting a gift, so to speak, I have a real problem with that. In fact, I don't just have a problem with it. I will not be voting in favor of this as it is written when it gets to the full board in June or whatever month it gets there. So either Alameda County gets part of this piece of pie, or AC Transit. I mean, I'm willing to expand it out to that. Or this certainly won't be getting my vote. I mean, I'm looking at some of these numbers on these charts. I mean, just looking again at the transit operator subsidies, I mean, VTAs is already being subsidized to a higher degree than AC Transit. San Francisco, I think, was leading the way in subsidies as it is at 63%. So, again, if you're really talking about need, low-income students, we're sitting in the city that has that need. We're sitting in the midst of the East Bay, which has that need. So, again, Mr. Chair, unless something changes here, I cannot support this as it is written.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Campbell.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And I want to begin by thanking my colleagues on the MTC for their consideration of the item that has been presented by San Francisco. I also want to thank the staff of the MTC, and in particular the executive director and his staff, for working closely with San Francisco in putting this proposal together. Let me say that we understand that this is not an issue that only impacts San Francisco. We recognize that this is an issue that impacts the entire region. And the last thing we want to do is to approach this to the exclusion of any other jurisdiction. We have been working on this, some members of our coalition, for the last two years, and we started getting involved in this about a year ago. What you have here is the San Francisco family, government family, coming together. As you heard, There was a vote at the Board of Supervisors where a majority of the Board of Supervisors supported this program. There was a board at the Board of Education where the entire Board of Education supported this program, as well as the Youth Commission. And this item was unanimously supported by the MTA Board of Directors. We will be going to the San Francisco County Transportation Authority very shortly so that a vote can be taken at that point. The funding plan that you have before us is a funding plan that makes sure that the City and County of San Francisco and its agencies take responsibility for paying for as much of the pilot as we can. The extent to that payment is something that we can certainly discuss, and part of the process here is to hear directly from the MTC as to what that should look like. In terms of the long-term funding, one thing that I want to underscore is that there is no expectation on the part of San Francisco that the region will permanently fund this program. We recognize that, like other jurisdictions, and Mayor Green noted, you know, their efforts, that we as a city and county have an obligation to find additional and permanent sources of funding for public transit. And as I was noted during public comment, we are in the process of doing that and considering all options, including the possibility of putting an item on the ballot to find that permanent source of funding. What we are asking for, though, is help with the funding of this. I don't know if you want to call it a pilot program or a demonstration program. We understand that it's not an easy thing to ask for, but there is some precedent here in this commission where we have previously as a commission provided support for a local jurisdiction, in this case Oakland, to pursue this kind of project. So I look forward to having a more in-depth discussion between now and the time that this item comes for action before this committee and before the entire commission. I do want to highlight a number of things about what we're trying to do. We are trying to serve about 40,000 youth. We believe that the facts of this proposal underscore the fact that we're trying to do the most we can with every dollar that we get from the region. The need has been demonstrated not only in the anecdotal information that was presented to all these bodies that received testimony, but it's highlighted by the fact that at some point we had 22,000 youth in San Francisco that were paying for a fast pass, and right now less than half, about 10,000 actually, are using Clipper and have money on their Clipper card. We believe that the objectives of this program go beyond what some prior pilot projects have tried to do. This is not about truancy. This is about increasing youth access to schools, access to volunteer opportunities, access to cultural and educational institutions, access to work and to recreational opportunities. We also believe that any kind of demonstration program has to include a robust evaluation component, which is why we want to make sure that we don't proceed until we have a very clear outline of what that evaluation looks like. You heard from some members of the public of what some of those components are. And lastly, there has to be a very important education component, which is why we have involved our local schools. And, you know, not only are we having a commitment, a financial commitment from some of the city agencies, but the school district, which is not necessarily in the best financial situation because of the funding situation in Sacramento, has committed some very little money that they have to this program and has committed to incorporate an education component. So I look forward to the opportunity to have a more in-depth discussion. I will be listening carefully to some of the comments and concerns or any issues that are identified. And again, I want to thank the MTC, staff, my colleagues, and more importantly, I want to thank all the members from the community that have come out to speak on this very important matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Cortese.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to very, very briefly comment on what's been going on at Santa Clara County VTA on this. In part, I originally thought I'd speak just to try to clarify that, you know, this seeing VTA show up in some nexus to the San Francisco proposal isn't a Me Too type of a situation, although certainly, you know, that probably wouldn't be such a bad thing for any other county or operator to come along and say Me Too. But just for the record, more than anything else, what happened in our county about a year ago is faith-based groups, our local version of PICO, got together, put Ken Yeager, Sam Liccardo, myself, you know, literally on the spot, as happens in an action, and said, look, we need help in this regard. And then as a result of that, my office as a county supervisor made a referral over to VTA last year asking to allow the county to take unused eco passes, which were, you know, in a sizable six-figure contract with VTA on, and let us move or shift some of those over to transit dependent, given the fact that the county's in the position already to be able to identify who the general assistance customers are and our social service folks. VTA picked up on that by saying, let us do a little broader study that would take into account, you know, what we can do in addition to shifting current contractual relations over with the county, et cetera. So we too have been working on this for a while. It's kind of interesting. It seems like one of these issues that there's been a lot of local creativity at work in different counties. I see Contra Costa's been at it for a while, and Alameda is talking about trying to raise local money that just hadn't surfaced here in any kind of a regional way up until now. So if nothing else, it's good to see that there's some awareness here at the regional level and maybe some best practices as how to deal with this stuff. We could certainly use any suggestions as to how to deal with, you know, a very large grassroots community, much like we see here, that's down in Santa Clara County, asking us to, you know, try to make a dent in this issue, this transit-dependent issue. So, I just want to get it out there that this has been going on. I know Scott Haywood's here from VTA and didn't get up and speak, but he's been, you know, the entire VTA staff's been working on things down on our end for quite a while. So, you know, we just want to be included in any creative solutions that come about, primarily because we've been working on the issue for a while now already. Let me just say, as far as local funding, it is a little unorthodox, I guess, but the county has been paying for our version of a pilot program that's really become long-term. Somebody that know our county well know that Gilroy in the south part of our county is about a 40-mile commute to get into the city centers where up around San Jose where all the social services offices are. So our county board of supervisors took it upon ourselves a while back to say, look, we'll pay for special, you know, free passes to get social services clients from that far away up here so that they can, you know, enroll in the programs, CalWORKs or whatever it is that they need to be involved in. So, again, that history has been around for a while. It's just, at the very early stages of incubation in our county. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Haggerty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not going to reiterate a lot of what Commissioner Green said. I mean, I do think it's important that this commission understand that, you know, we've recognized the problem in Alameda County, and we're actually going to our voters to ask their help to get this done. You know, piecemealing it, I don't think, is the way to do it. And I do believe that if we're going to move forward with this type of program, it should not be just done in San Francisco County. It should be done in all the nine barrier counties, and I think it should even be taken a step further and not just applied to low-income students or people on GA, both of which we can, and Alameda County could certainly apply for and compete very well. But I think that it really needs to apply to all children in all nine barrier counties. You know, this commission continues to wrestle with the goals of SB 375 and AB 32. And, you know, agreeing with one of the speakers, Matt Williams, who got up and spoke, and also agreeing with the transportation plan for the Sierra Club, it is important that we start changing the mindset of our youth. And, you know, I always remember this. I went to Germany And I was flying home with a young lady on the plane, and she said she's never owned a car. My estimation was she was probably somewhere around 30 years old. And I said, well, how do you get around? She says, well, I ride the bike and I use the train. Mm. I said, well, what do you do in the rain? And she says, I carry an umbrella. Germany was building rails when we were building highways. And so it's a part of their everyday life. They know how to do it. And I think that if we are going to start moving towards more sustainable communities, and if we are going to move towards, you know, cleaning our air and everything that's associated with the goals, then we need to educate our new generation. And we need to educate them that they can incorporate transit into their everyday lives. So I really believe that we're a bit premature. I mean, it recently became overwhelming to my family to pick up 3 kids every day after school. And if you were to go to my kids' schools today, you would see 3 bikes. And really, I don't know what's wrong with the bicycle. It was an efficient mode of transportation when I was a kid. And, I think that it's not just about transit. It's about, you know, what works for you and what works for your family. My kids are now riding their bikes to school and actually having fun doing it. And I guess you would say that's one less cold start in the morning. Actually, it's 2 because they're 2 at different times. So, I mean, I would agree with the Sierra Club that this is something that we need to do for our children. But I'm really, really extremely against piecemealing this. And I think if MTC is really serious about this and they want to try it yet again, then, in fact, we should come up with a plan that works with all transit agencies to figure out how all kids can incorporate transit into their daily lives.
Thank you. Commissioner McKenzie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Been listening to these comments, and I was looking at the staff report under Next Steps, where a number of critical questions were asked, which I think lead to the remarks, back to the remarks by Commissioners Green and Haggerty, and that is, if these, in fact, are being advertised as pilot projects, do they, in fact, lead to laying out how a region-wide program might be operated? And that's how I understand pilot programs, and I believe the staff questions are incisive enough that when this matter comes back to us in June, then because I would be supportive of pilot programs if it were clearly demonstrated that these data, in fact, in a 2-year period, say, could then be fully translated to all 9 counties. And so I'm looking forward to the next month staff report, because I believe the questions that they asked will be very helpful to us. I'm glad we're not being asked to vote on this right at this moment.
Thank you. Any other commissioners?
Yes.
I just want to make a comment. I absolutely understand the need to help our youth get to and from where they need to go. I guess the concern I have, and I think it also stems from this whole regional versus a pilot, is, you know, is this going to become a slippery slope? You know, several have said, well, I want to be in it too, and then the next one says, I want to be in it too. And to me, if that's the direction we're going, I think we would definitely need to know, you know, can we do it on a regional basis? And if so, where would that funding come from, and what else would be taken away? And I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. I just think we need sort of more information. Or if we think starting with one town is worth doing the pilot to understand sort of what I call the good, the bad, and the ugly, then start with one, use that as the basis to be able to understand how this can work in the long term, then that might be the way to do it. But if you throw a second one in and a third one in, then you're going to get the fourth one and the fifth one. Then we just need to really look at it as a regional basis. I think you have to almost do sort of one or the other. Otherwise, I think we're sort of on a slippery slope. But I do like the idea of exploring it. I think it's important. But I also think, you know, there is a certain responsibility that each and every one of us has as we utilize our system, and everything can't be free. I mean, someone has to pay for it. So, you know, if this is free, then what's the next thing we're going to do free? So I do think we need to really evaluate thoroughly on several fronts, and I'd be willing to take the time to study it because I think there's a lot of effort that's gone into it, and I wouldn't want that to go away. But I think it's starting to get bigger than just that one pilot program, and that's my concern as to where it's going to go from here.
Commissioner Spearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, first, I'm not quite sure how VTA got included. When this was originally proposed, Commissioner Campos was talking about a project in San Francisco, which, you know, I certainly think needs consideration. But, you know, I can honestly say I think if VTA is included in this, I probably will not support it because I think it should have been made available to all counties if that's the approach we're going to take. The other issue is on the discussion on discount fares in general. I think there needs to be an honest discussion about that. I think there's an opportunity to generate additional revenues. You have a lot of people that are getting these discounted fares that really can afford to pay the full fare. And I'm one of those individuals. You know, you get a senior fare, and I can afford to pay the full fare, and I really shouldn't be getting that discount. And so I think the discount ought to be going to the people that really need it. And so I would like to see a discussion about that. As I look at this one chart, it certainly begs at least some discussion. You know, when you look at paying over what's required by some of the regulations that we have. And there has to be, I think this needs to be done in the context of a regional-wide program approach. And if MTC develops some type of regional program, part of that program should be this pilot program in San Francisco that we take the best practices or, you know, the replication of the successes monitored with some oversight by MTC. I don't want to just be relying on San Francisco or some other agency feeding us that data. There has to be some oversight so we have some assurances that these best practices can be applied in other parts of the region. I believe it was the last cycle, San Francisco did receive a lot more lifeline funding. I would like to have a little bit more discussion about maybe there ought to be a little bit more emphasis put on that or how that's prioritized. And I disagree with a comment where somebody says we don't have the AC experience. We do have that experience. It wasn't affordable and it wasn't sustainable and it didn't work. And AC withdrew from it, and there was a lot of consternation about it in the beginning. And so I think this is worthy of further discussion. I would really like to see if we can focus on that pilot program. I don't like demonstration project because that really leads into additional funding. Pilot means it's something that an agency can apply within their jurisdiction and fund it. But I think it's worthy of further discussion, but as it's being proposed, I think it's going to be very problematic for us in the region. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any other commissioners? Commissioner Wiener.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I also want to thank staff for all the work that's gone into this and the folks who have come today who I know have worked very hard. I want to thank my colleague, Commissioner Campos, for we certainly have had some of our disagreements, but I thank him for his work and leadership on this and for really being very passionate and tenacious about it. You know, this has been a very significant topic of conversation in San Francisco for quite some time. You know, I do disagree with one thing that was said during public comment. I don't think there's a consensus in San Francisco about this. This was not unanimous at the Board of Supervisors. I voted against it, and I was pretty public in my opposition to the original proposal, which was free muni for all youth. MTA has now come forward with a revised proposal, and I'm very grateful to the MTA for having engaged in a pretty hard-nosed financial analysis and gone with this alternative option. This is something I would like to support, but I have not made up my mind yet. I think that there are unanswered questions. A few weeks ago, I sent a letter to the MTA, to Mr. Riskin, asking a number of questions about the sustainability of the program and MTA's plan for the end of the pilot program. MTA responded honestly to its credit that it has no funding plan for the end of the pilot. It acknowledged that this is something that is hard to take away once you've given people free access to Muni. And MTA acknowledge that there have already been other groups that have approached the agency who are also worthy to get also asked for free access to Muni. And, you know, we know that low-income seniors, low-income disabled people, low-income transition-age youth who are no longer living with their parents also certainly have very, very strong argument for increased access to transportation. We now have these two additional agencies coming forward and asking for funding. And for me, the issue has always been about sustainability. We're going through the Transit Sustainability Project, and we've been working very hard to make sure that our transit agencies have sustainable operating plans and cost structures for the long run, that they're reforming their work rules, that they're reforming, in MTA's case, its work order with SFPD. There are a lot of different ways where we're asking these transit agencies to reform themselves and to get their costs under control so that they can provide good service. Because if we have deteriorating service, that hurts everyone, including youth. And you can give everyone free transit, and if it's poor transit, it's not worth the free pass that you're giving them. So it's really about trade-offs and what this is going to take away from, and for me, what is the plan in the long run. And I'm not saying that we have to have every single regional thing, the entire region, all settled, and we can't move forward with any kind of pilot program until we have everything perfectly tied up in a bow for the entire 9-county region. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think that there are unanswered questions, at least from MTA, in terms of what is going to happen at the end. What is that funding source that will be coming from San Francisco to support this? How will that play in with Muni's $120 million annual structural deficit? So like I said, I haven't made up my mind. This is something I would like to be able to support, but I don't think that those questions have been adequately answered yet, and I look forward to the dialogue over the next, I suppose, 6 weeks. Thanks.
Hey, thank you. Commissioner Campos.
Just to add a final point that I forgot to mention in my comments, and I want to thank all my colleagues for their remarks, and I certainly appreciate everything that's been said. The one thing that I do want to underscore is that I have had this conversation with the mayor of San Francisco, and I think that both he and I are very mindful of the concerns that have been raised, and I think that what Commissioner Wiener, pointed to is a very critical issue here, which is, you know, how do you sustain this long term? And while we don't have the specifics of that right now, I can tell you that I know that the mayor is committed to making sure that happens, and I certainly am committed to making sure that we identify that permanent source of funding. My hope is that we can have an honest discussion about that with the recognition that if you're going to pursue a pilot, you're not going to be able to identify the specific sources of funding permanently prior to beginning the pilot. But I do think it's something that we obviously have to take into account, and I look forward to the opportunity between now and the next few weeks to addressing some of the concerns and the legitimate issues that have been raised. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Haggerty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just forgot something that I want to mention, that, you know, many, many years ago, I was kind of like the father of free transit on Spare the Air Days. Started at LAVDA. We did it for a couple years, and then we brought it over to MTC, and MTC did it for a while. And one of the things that I remember when we moved to discontinue that, which I still believe it's a good idea, and just so people understand, I believe transit should be free. I wish we could get there. But one of the things that I remember as a reason for not doing this anymore is the kids that would get on the transit agency's facilities and be very disruptive. And I think one of the things that we're certainly going to have to study before we move forward with any free pass is to understand what would be the implications of that. Would we be putting free kids on a bus or on a BART train or on a ferry and then turn around and have them run passengers off that are actually paying because they don't want to put up with the unruliness? So I think as we move forward with this, we certainly have to go into this with our eyes wide open. We have to look at every aspect of the implications of doing this.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other commissioners? No? Okay. Seeing none, let me just say that this is an informational item, and it will be coming back to the commission, and I'm hopeful that the staff has heard all the comments that's been stated today. And let me just add to those comments and say, you know, I find myself in a Me Too mode. I commend San Francisco and their objective here. Certainly one that I think Contra Costa would like to pursue also in having this system in place, but one that would be a system that worked. We have had in West County some programs. We have done some summer programs with free passes. And I got to tell you that unless these programs are well thought through and there's processes in place to make sure that they operate in the way that they should, that there's a lot of problems with these type programs. That's why from a regional perspective, and I admire what's going on in Alameda, because their citizens are looking to pay for the program. They're going to take control of that program. From a more regional perspective, unless MTC really sets in and do some, do the policy and monitoring, I think there's a huge problem. But I would like to see if we move forward with this, that it would be from a regional perspective. Pilot programs are great, but I think that it's a very expensive program, and everyone would like to have a little skin in this game. So I'll be looking forward to the report coming back to the commission. Anything else from staff at this point? Okay. We will move on to our next item, which is the update on the California Transportation Commission.
Thank you, Chair. Kenneth Cao, programming staff. Given the time, I will refer you to the staff item in the packet and happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Any public comments? Seeing none, we stand adjourned.